Well, good morning to everyone here and at home. It's lovely to see you all in person. So, earlier this year, the country was rocked by Cummingsgate. Stay at home, save lives, unless you're Dominic Cummings. And the story was of how the Prime Minister's closest advisor, in the midst of deepest lockdown, travelled the length of the country and had a side trip. And the cry went up across the country, well, there's one rule for him and one rule for us. And it seems that during this period, there have been quite a few instances like this. There was the scandal of Professor Lockdown, the architect of the lockdown strategy, who broke lockdown to see his lover. And an extraordinary story from Ireland of government ministers, a European commissioner, a High Court judge, who got together for a golf dinner, breaking all of the rules. One rule for them and one for us. In the past week, Britain itself has been caught up in that sort of business. In the international arena, we stand for the rule of law. But yet our own parliament has been debating whether to break the terms of a treaty unilaterally. And there's a word that people use for this sort of thing. It's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Advocating principles you don't follow yourself. Or, to broaden it out a little further, pretending to be what you're not. Now, hypocrisy isn't just present in the public arena of politics and government. It's also, sadly, present in the church. And some of the instances of hypocrisy are really shocking and indeed bring shame on the Church of Jesus Christ. Some of the stories of sexual abuse in the church, of people who present as advocates of sexual probity, who can't follow the rules themselves. We're all too familiar with the scandals around televangelists who fall from the standard that they advocate. And indeed, there's a scandal raging in the States at the moment with one of the leading public Christians in America being accused of all sorts of things that go against what he stood for all his life. Who knows whether the allegations are true or not in that case, but what's certain is that in many cases they are. Well, how do you think Jesus feels about this? I think we don't have to imagine too hard, because the passage that was just read to us tells us exactly how Jesus feels about hypocrisy. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18 tells us in no uncertain terms that Jesus hates hypocrisy. He stands against it. And I don't know if you noticed, but that passage provided three focus areas where Jesus pinpointed ways in which we could be hypocritical as his followers. Three ways in which we must not be hypocritical. He singled out fake actions, fake words, and fake devotions. Before we delve into that, I'd like to issue a disclaimer. Here's the small print. I am definitely not perfect. I don't pretend that because I'm the person standing up front talking about hypocrisy, that I'm the one person in the room who's got it completely sussed. In fact, when I was asked to preach on this date, I was intrigued to know what subject the church leaders thought I had expertise on that I might be able to share with you. And when I discovered that the subject was hypocrisy, you can imagine how I felt. No, I'm not perfect. None of us is. We're not the kind of church where the preacher stands 6 feet above contradiction. In fact, I like the fact that in this church, the preacher stands on the floor, on the same level as everyone else, because we're all in this together. We all struggle with these issues, and we all need God and the help of His Spirit to help us to be His followers, truly, and with integrity. So let's start at the very beginning, where Jesus sets the scene for what He's about to say in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 6. Be careful, He says, not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by others. To be seen by them, rather. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. This is the manifesto that He sets out right at the beginning that summarizes the thrust of everything He's about to say. I'll boil it down even further. Jesus is saying, don't be show-off Christians. There's no place in the church for show-offs. Many of us remember Muhammad Ali, who some regard as one of the greatest boxers of all time. And if we didn't think that ourselves, then Muhammad Ali certainly told us it. I am the greatest, was his repeated cry. I am the greatest. And you know, he was a brilliant boxer. His feet moved so fast, his hands moved so fast. What he wasn't great at was humility. Self-effacing he was not. And you know, just saying, I am the greatest, doesn't make us that. In fact, it diminishes us. It diminishes us. So as we launch into this passage, here are two questions that we can all consider as we go through what Jesus said. First question is this. In everything we do, who are we trying to impress? Who are we trying to impress? In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we read this. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. Or again, in the same vein, from Psalm 44, the Lord knows the secrets of the heart. The Lord knows what we're really like, regardless of what we might look like on the outside. So who are we trying to impress? That's the first question. The second question is this. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we doing it? Proverbs 16 verse 2 says, all a person's ways may seem pure. They may seem pure to other people. They may even seem pure to them. But motives are weighed by the Lord, who can see our heart. So do keep those questions rattling around in your mind as we dive into the detail. Who are we trying to impress, and why are we doing what we're doing? So back to that scene-setting introduction that Jesus gave us, where he said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. He goes on in a really interesting way. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And Jesus' point, I think, is this. If we're doing things because we want to impress other people, we're doing them for them. We're doing those things for them. Why should Jesus give us any reward for what we do? Why should he acknowledge what we do? There's no reward from heaven for things that are done for the benefit of earth only. Well, as we think about this, We may decide that what we really want to do is to impress people, even if we're not very impressive in reality. And you know what? We might set out, even subconsciously, to mislead people into thinking that we're better than we are. We've all done it, let's be honest. Not just in interviews for jobs, but in all sorts of settings. We set out to mislead people to think the better of us. But do we really think we can mislead God? Those are two very distinct things. You know what? If you set out to mislead people, you may just get away with it. They may think the better of you. If you set out to mislead God, then there's no chance. It's not going to happen. He knows what's real and what's true. So I said in the passage, Jesus picks out three areas to focus on. Fake actions, fake words, and fake devotions. Let's dive into the first of those, fake actions. Verse 2, so says Jesus, when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Don't be a look at me, charitable giver. Some years ago, some of the world's wealthiest people, Bill and Melinda Gates and Warren Buffett, announced something called the Giving Pledge. This was a commitment by them and by some of the world's wealthiest people to give a majority of their wealth to charitable causes, whether during their lifetime or at their death. And actually, I think it's great that these wealthy people set out to encourage philanthropy in others. That's a great thing to do. So I see that as highly commendable. But if you go to the Giving Pledge website, what you see is pages and pages and pages of 210 billionaires who are very publicly saying, we're giving away lots of money. And each of them has written an essay to explain what they're doing. And why? It's an incredibly public act of giving away incredibly large sums of money. But you don't have to be a billionaire who signed the Giving Pledge to be very public in your giving. Sometimes we can't help the fact that other people know what we give. It's just in the mechanics of giving, other people sometimes know. And that's okay. The question is, why are we doing it? Why are we advertising? Why are we virtue signaling? Why are we not just putting a check in the post, but, as it were, making giant checks so everybody can see how much we've done for charity? What we're effectively saying is, hey, everyone, come and see how good I look. No, says Jesus, when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Of course they have. People say, oh, it's amazing what you've done. You have such a great heart. You give so much. Okay, says the Lord. If it's the praise of people you want, that's fine. Just don't expect anything from me. Well, we who follow Jesus, if we want to do as he says, what then should we do? Here's what Jesus says. When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Secret giving. Why? Because what you give still gets to the needy. The point of the philanthropy is still satisfied because the needy receive your gift. And that's the main thing, isn't it? And the Lord knows your heart, even if nobody else does. You know, for those of us who are Christians, intimacy with God is the greatest thing. To be His, to be known by Him, and to know Him too. Well, here's Jesus telling us a key lesson of how to grow in our intimacy with God, and it's this: we need to have shared secrets with Him. Every intimate relationship has shared secrets, things that nobody else knows. They're just special to us. Jesus says, you need to have shared secrets with God. So turning to the second area, fake words. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. This is what they love. They're saying, as it were, hey everyone, come and see how spiritual I am. Now, of course, we who are Christians do pray in public sometimes, and rightly so. When we come together to worship God, of course, you can't help but pray in public. The question is, why are you praying in public? Is it to say, look how spiritual I am? That's not what we're to do. This, says Jesus, is what we're to do. This, says Jesus, is the problem with praying to be seen and thought the better of by others. We get all of our reward here and none of it from our Heavenly Father. You're going to see a pattern emerging here, because I'm going to ask, so what should we do? According to Jesus, what we should do is, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Why? Because that's who you're talking with. The prayer isn't about anybody else. We're to have shared secrets with Him. Nobody else should know the extent to which we pray. That we pray is important. We should encourage each other as Christians. But let's have shared secrets in the privacy of our private prayers with our Heavenly Father. Let's look at the third area. You're going to see the same pattern again. What a surprise. Fake devotions. When you fast, when you take special steps to devote yourself particularly to God, in this case, by foregoing some food so you can focus the better on God, on prayer, on your relationship with Him. When you fast, don't dress yourself up to look like it, to advertise the fact. Don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. You know, you can buy "I'm fasting today" badges. Don't do it, says Jesus. Because, look, I'll tell you what you're doing. You're saying, hey everyone, look at me. No. If that's what you're doing it for, then all the reward that you're ever going to get for it is when people say, oh wow, I could never do that. Don't do it for that reason, says Jesus. Truly, people who do that have already had their reward in full. So, what should we do? Well, says Jesus, when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who's unseen. Look, if you're going to do any pretending, says Jesus, then do it with a little makeup and a smile on your face so that nobody notices that you're doing something to please God. Make it your shared secret and enjoy the fact that your Father in heaven knows what you're up to, and offer that private intimacy to Him in worship. The word hypocrisy comes from the Greek. It derives from a word that means public performance, or play-acting. Jesus says, don't be a play-actor. Don't pretend to be righteous by parading visible acts of righteousness. Indeed, I think the Lord would say, don't play act in any way. When people ask how you are, don't say fine if you're not fine. Let's be honest with others and honest with our Father in heaven. Don't be an actor. The actor, Grace Kelly, commented on the fact that that actors themselves can be brilliant at hypocrisy because acting is what they do and they do it better than most. She said when she went to Hollywood, the thing that struck her was that it was holier than thou for the public and unholier than the devil in reality. Holier than thou for the public and unholier than the devil in reality. Is that what you're like? Is that what I'm like? Covering over what we're really like in order to look good. The philosopher Blaise Pascal said this: all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room. Now, Pascal believed in God. Trusted in him. I don't think he was just talking about sitting still. I don't think he was just talking about not fidgeting. I think what he was talking about was this question: what happens when it's just us and God? In our lives, which do we prioritize? The look at me act in front of other people, or the reality of what happens quietly in a room with God. So that's what this passage of Scripture is about. And yes, I've skipped over one of the best known pieces of Scripture there is, the Lord's Prayer, which is buried in there and which bears lots more exploration. But actually, if you look at it in context, that beautiful expression of what we should do is buried in the midst of Jesus' teaching of what we shouldn't do. The Lord's Prayer is about reality. The context is about make-believe. And you notice the repeating pattern that we need to learn from. And this is what each of the three focus areas we looked at was like. First of all, Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites. And there are the verses where he says it. Then he says, there's no reward for them because they're not offering what they do to God. And then he says, seek to please God rather in secret, in the intimacy of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. But I edited all three stories because each of them has a fourth repeating pattern. Jesus goes on to say, but for those of us who do honor God in secret, there is a great reward in store. Let's look at those. Fake actions. That's what I showed you before. But there's a bit on the end that Jesus adds there. He says, then, when you do your giving in secret, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Here's what I showed you about the fake words, but guess what comes at the end of that? If we pray in the privacy of our quiet time with God, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And the fake devotions. If when we fast or when we devote ourselves to God, we do it privately, then, says Jesus, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do you see what Jesus is saying? only when it's real is there a real reward. Well, you might say, why would God reward us if all we're doing is doing it secretly so that we will be rewarded? Isn't that like a transaction? God, if I do this and I don't tell anyone, then you owe me. No, that's not the spirit of what Jesus is saying at all. I think the spirit of what Jesus is saying is this. Intimacy with God is its own reward. If it's not done with integrity, then it's not real. And there is no reward. But if it is done with integrity and it's real, then the doing of it is reward enough in itself. And we'll know that reward here on earth. But I do believe there will be reward in addition in heaven for us. So here's my closing question. And you don't have to tell me. In fact, I tell you what, it's better if you tell God in secret than telling me. Because I have to ask it of myself too. And the question is this. Are you intimate with God? Do you have shared secrets which are precious and beautiful in the eyes of our Father in heaven? I'm going to do something unusual. I'm going to set some homework. It's all about homeschooling at the moment, isn't it? I'm going to set some homework, and it's this. Share some secrets with God this week. Take it away and practically get into private with God and share some secrets with Him. It might be secrets of things that you say. It might be secrets of things that you do and don't tell anyone else, but you do them for Him. Maybe you might fast for Him. So that's your homework. Share some secrets with God this week. And I'll tell you this. No marks will be given. At least, no marks will be given outside of heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, most of us can recognize hypocrisy in others and we don't like it. Most of us can point to the speck in somebody else's eye. But we are really terrible at spotting the plank in our own eye. Please, Lord, work in us. Go right to the heart of our motives and the things that move us to do what we do. Help us to reevaluate and to stop being people pleasers. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us to seek first what pleases you. And to offer all that we do to you. And help us to do it with integrity so that what we do in public, we do much more in secret with you and for you. We want to be real in our relationship with you. And we want to be real in the face that we present to the world. And those about us. So please, Lord, help us to hear and to internalize and to put into action the words of Jesus that we've looked at this morning. And we offer them back to, and ourselves back to you in worship in His name. Amen.